Just to give you a pre-sermon story, but I better get somebody to pray for me before I do that. Huh? Big John, you want to pray for me? Amen. There are a number of things that are in my heart, real burden for us to be caught by, captured by. One of them is that as we experience, learn about the fullness of Christ, we understand that miraculous lifestyle aspect of it. And so we talked about that a few weeks ago, did a sermon about a miraculous lifestyle, and Jesus basically said, if you have the ability to do something about human suffering and don't, you're participating in the evil of human suffering. And he was saying that in the context of somebody being healed. He knew he had the ability to do something about it. When they were getting mad because he was going to do something about it on the Sabbath, he says, is it better to do good or evil on the Sabbath? And he said, I have the ability to change this man's life, and to not do that is to participate in the fall's impact on his life. And the other thing I think has been a key scripture for me has been John chapter 4, when Jesus told his disciples, who didn't discern well what was going on with the woman at the well, when they came back after getting food for him, and they were angry that he was talking to this woman, because one, it was a woman, she was a Samaritan woman, her reputation may have even been made known to them, she was pretty infamous in the region, and they weren't happy with Jesus or with her. Not realizing that while they were gone, her life had been transformed. Jesus saw into her life. As a matter of fact, he came through that area for the intent purpose of confronting her, not in a bad way, but to bring healing and wholeness to her life. And he spoke a word of knowledge into her life that she had been married 5 times, was living with a person. And God used that to crack open her heart. And she encountered him in a very profound way and became an instrument for revival in that entire region. So when the disciples came back and they were upset with Jesus talking to her, Jesus simply said to them, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. Here's a woman who is a field white unto harvest. She was ready for her heart to be harvested. And all you could see is that this is a Samaritan woman who had these issues. And because Jesus, as the Son of Man, always had his eyes lifted up for opportunities to overcome the works of the devil, the Father was able to show him everything he was doing and to say to him all the things he was saying, because he knew he could trust Jesus to dispense those things. So it's really important for me. I want us as a church to begin to embrace a lifestyle so that there are more and more stories about the one I'm about to tell you. Because he'll position you. He'll posture you for the miraculous. He just will. Because you carry in you, by the Holy Spirit, the ability of Jesus to do something about human brokenness. And you confront it.
Amen.
Tim and Tyne, when they opened the business, have been asking me for a couple of weeks to come and bless their business. I don't do that as much as I used to, because I got other folks who can, and there are other things I need to do. But I was going to do that for Tim. But for a couple of weeks, it's hard making it happen. And finally, the week before the grand opening, I didn't know that was a grand opening, I was thinking I would do it the next Monday because my schedule opened up then. But like Wednesday, Tim, he texted me and just said, hey, look, can you get here by Saturday? And I realized that it must be opening on Saturday, and so I said, I'll come Friday. And Friday afternoon is usually my afternoon off. So Olivia went with me. We went out to Tim's place. We blessed this huge warehouse that they have. And we also celebrated Eucharist. That's a great thing to do when you're blessing a place, a house, or a place. But as we were walking around, we noticed different people doing finishing touches to stack the shelves with different things. There was two guys that were stacking wood in the lumber part. And one of them was the person Tim talked about, Roderick. So just before we were going to do the communion, there was just a few of us. Everybody else was still working around the warehouse. Tim said, Roderick wanted to know if you'd pray for him before you leave. He asked me if you were my pastor. I told him, yeah. And I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to. So we finished blessing the place. And on the way out, I said, well, go find Roderick, because I want to pray for him. So Roderick came. Roderick's really, he was big guy, like Big John. This must be Big John's brother. And he was real sweaty from doing the work. And I asked him, I said, when did you meet Roderick? And he said, well, today. So he and his friend were just standing out by the road, and I just asked him if they needed to earn some money. Now, understand the sequence of events. If I'd have gone a week before, 3 days earlier, how God does stuff. And so I said, sure, Roderick, how can I pray for you? So I laid my hand on his chest, and he started crying, sobbing. And I said, how can I pray for you? And he said, well, he said, I've got, in the midst of his tears, he said, I've got something wrong with my toe and this foot. I'm having a real hard time getting around. And it's been going on for months. And I got afraid, thinking maybe I had some kind of diabetic issue. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, no, you don't have diabetes. We don't know what's wrong. And he said, my wife and I were just so concerned, because I guess it was limiting his ability to do anything to work. So I said, well, let's just pray for him. I said, Jesus is going to heal you. So I prayed for him, and he got healed standing there. He was running around, stomping his foot. Tim was telling me he worked the rest of the day with no anything. Because I said, Tim, I want to make sure that this is authentic, what we did. The point is, not because I carry anything different than you. That's not the issue. You all carry the same ability. But if we don't lift up our eyes, we'll never take advantage of opportunities. So I just want to encourage you with that story. Last time Tim saw him or talked to him, he was excited about going to his church the next Sunday to give a testimony of how God had healed him. If you're willing, he will create opportunities. If you'll lift up your eyes, he'll create opportunities for you to steward a miraculous lifestyle that overcomes the works of the devil in the lives of other people. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to do something different this morning than I planned on doing. Those of you who were here for our noon service on Friday, you're going to get to hear this again. And so just bear with me. But when I gave the word, I knew it was a prophetic word for this season. Not just for Christ the King, but for beyond Christ the King. But I wanted to give this at some point as a pastoral and prophetic word here. It'll be much more condensed when I share it on As and Roars as a prophetic word. But it is a word for us, and it is a word for in the season. So it is pastoral, because I'm your pastor. And you'll know why I may say it's pastoral when I give it. But it's also a prophetic word that I want you to hear. So, therefore, if you'll turn your Bibles right side up, it works better that way. Into the book of Ruth. If you'll find Joshua, and then Judges, and then Ruth, if you keep turning to the right. In the last chapter of the book of Ruth is when Boaz makes public that he's going to redeem Ruth and Naomi and all that was theirs. You know, they were both widows. Naomi was the mother-in-law. Ruth was the daughter-in-law. She was a Moabitess, a pagan, who had come back to the land of her mother-in-law, had come into relationship with Jehovah God. But the way things worked, if you had a kinsman redeemer, if you have one who was a relative, who had the financial ability, the power, and the will, they could buy you out of poverty. And any of the land that belonged to your husbands or whatever, to your family that is now in hock because of debt, they could buy that out also. And so it's a long story, but there was one even closer than Boaz, but he refused to be the redeemer because he wouldn't marry Ruth. But Boaz's heart was already set on Ruth, and he was already committed to redeem her situation if this other fella wouldn't do it. And so when he refuses to do it in front of all the council and elders of the city, Boaz declares his intention to buy her inheritance out of Hawk, Naomi's inheritance, and to marry Ruth. And when that happens, they have this sort of a prophetic thing they would do. The fella who refused to redeem gave his shoe to Boaz as a sign that it's now your responsibility, it now belongs to you, she belongs to you. And when that happened, the elders of the city and the council blessed the marriage and the family and the future of Boaz and Ruth. And this is what they said. This is chapter 4, verse 11. And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth at Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem." Now, Rachel and Leah, of course, were responsible for the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob being born. Now, of course, you know Ephrathah and Bethlehem is where the Messiah was born. Interesting prophetic declaration for them. And, you know, Boaz, who's from the tribe of Judah, he's one of the great, great, great ancestors. It was through his line that the Messiah was born. So that's a great blessing. But the second, the next one is really interesting. Moreover, verse 12, "May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this young woman." Now, this whole lineage of Jesus, Messiah, that's listed in this chapter is really interesting. And Perez plays such an important role, and yet his name is barely mentioned anywhere in Scripture. There's nothing in Scripture where there's really anything said about him. And yet they bless their household with the blessing of Perez. And their offspring would have the anointing and the blessing of Perez. Matter of fact, in verse 18, when he goes back over the line that would lead to David, he starts with Perez. Now, these are generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram, Abinadab, and to Abinadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon was born Salmon. Now, Salmon is the great-great-grandfather of David. And Salmon's wife was a former prostitute named Rahab. Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed Jesse, and to Jesse David. It's interesting to me that David's grandmother was a Moabitess. She wasn't even born a Jew. His great-great-grandmother was a pagan who had been a prostitute. And all these are in the line of Jesus, which is encouraging to me that Jesus is not afraid to be identified with the broken and the sinful.
Amen.
We're part of his lineages. Certainly we can be a part of his inheritance, right? But this Perez guy, and I've studied the book of Ruth and taught the book of Ruth for years and years and years. It's kind of like the Song of Solomon in my Bible. But I never stopped and paid that much attention to the Perez thing. And it says that Perez was born of Tamar. So let me give you this little story. It'll take a few minutes. And the punchline doesn't take that long. The prophetic word, pastoral word, doesn't take that long. But to understand it, you have to understand the story a little bit. Judah, it's also interesting to me that Judah is the one through the lineage of the Messiah came. But why? He wasn't the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn. He wasn't the secondborn. He was not the thirdborn. He was the fourthborn to Leah. I think part of this story is that God does all kinds of stuff that doesn't seem to fit, that doesn't seem to make sense, that doesn't seem to be fair in our understanding of what we think we should deserve or get. But anyway, Judah, gets married, and Judah has three sons. The first one's named E-R. The next one's Ornan. The third one's like Shelah. And his son, marries a lady named Tamar. But the scripture says that is evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord takes him, takes his life. Now, the way things worked in that day was that the right thing to do was Judah went to the second born and said, your older brother has died, now for you need now to take his widow and make her yours. It's like redemption, like kinsman redeemer. But he refused to do it, and God took his life. He died. So there's only one kid left, and he's like 10 years old. And also, Judah's getting a little bit nervous. There may be some kind of curse going on with Tamar. And so what he does, he makes a deal with Tamar. He said, look, if you'll go and back to your home place, live with your father, and live as a widow, when the youngest Shelah grows up to be old enough, he will redeem your situation. He will marry you. And so she goes and does that. And for years, she lives and dresses as a widow in the house of her father, waiting for Judah to keep his word, that she would get the younger brother. Well, in the meantime, Judah's wife, she dies. And Tamar has begun to conclude that Judah's not going to keep his word. But she hears, somebody tells her, that Judah's going to be coming into the town that she lives. And so she gets this scheme together. She puts on a different kind of makeup, puts on the clothes of a prostitute, wears a veil, and goes and sits on the side of the road and waits for Judah, the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus, to come along. Now, why in the world would she think that she'd be able to lure him? I don't know. Makes Judah a little sketchy. There are all these sketchy people in the line of Jesus. That'll make you feel better. Makes me feel better. So for sure, he stops and propositions her. And she asks him, well, what will you offer? And he says, a goat. But he doesn't have a goat. And so she says, well, give me your seal and your rope and your staff as kind of a down payment. And I'll keep this until the goat shows up. And he said, I'll agree to it. So he did what he did, went into her, he left. And he went back home. He sent a servant to go find this prostitute, whom he didn't know who it was, to get his staff and his cord and his signet ring back and to bring her the goat he had promised. But of course, she didn't look like she did before, and she's living back home. She's not sitting out like a prostitute, and he can't find her at all. So he just figures, that's okay, that's behind me. Then he hears from somebody that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, is pregnant. That she had acted the part of a prostitute and that she was pregnant. So it made him angry because it seemed like an unrighteous thing for her to do. So he had Tamar brought to his household, and we're going to bring her outside. We're going to burn her alive for doing what she had done. And he asked the question, you need to be careful what questions you ask. Who is the father? She pulls out the staff and the cord and the signet ring and says, the one to whom these belong. And he realized that he had been busted. So, of course, he repents and brings her into his household. And when she gives birth, she has twins. One of them is Perez. I forget the other's name. I'm blessed to remember the names I've remembered so far. Now, as the handmaid or the midwife is helping this birth happen, one of the boys sticks his arm out. Well, as far as she knows, they're going to be perfect twins. And so she wants to, when they are out, to be able to look at both of them and not get mixed up and realize this is the heir. firstborn. So he sticks his arm out. She ties a red string around his wrist. But then something strange happens. The arm disappears. And the other one backs out. You know what I mean by that? Booty first. And the idea is kind of like he's pushing one down while he's backing out. And so the one who didn't have the string tied around came out first, and his name was Perez. And Perez became the heir as the firstborn, and he became part of the lineage of Jesus, the great-great-great-grandfather of David. And the word Perez means this, a barrier breacher. A barrier breacher. That even when there are barriers, he can breach. The word breach just means to break. When that whale breaches, it breaks through the water. Break through barriers. Even if it looks like you're having to come booty first. Even if it's not normal. Even if it seems really difficult. Even impossible. You see, the brother who stuck his arm out first, that's pretty settled. The midwife marked him as the heir. Done deal. Situations, if Perez was the one, seemed to be pretty too late. Situations too far gone. Things aren't working out like you thought they were. Now you understand, for Perez to be the one, that was a promise already in the heart of God. God didn't like go, oh, okay, you came out, end up coming out first, I'll make you the one. It was already in the heart of God that Perez was to be the one. And yet everything looked like that wasn't going to happen. You ever had anything going in your life where you feel like there are some promises of God? Some promises of God that you've believed for, that you've believed God's spoken in your life? But it seems like everything going on in your life is just the opposite. It's just not going to happen. It's too late, even. But Perez breached the barrier. Came out rear end first. And his very name meant barrier breacher. Even if it's happening in an unorthodox way. Now, what were they saying to this family? What were they saying to Ruth and to Boaz? That there'll be an anointing on you and your offspring to break through any barrier, no matter what it is, for the promised purposes of God and destiny of God for you to be fulfilled. That's the blessing of Boaz. I believe that's a great blessing to own. I believe the Lord told me when I discovered this, this is a season that we're coming into. This is a season that he's offering the body of Christ. That we got to stop focusing on the barriers and start believing in the breach. Even if it seems like you're coming at it backwards. There are things that you personally have been believing God for. That you've longed for years, but you feel like you've hit a barrier. Maybe that barrier has been standing there for years. Maybe you even think it's your fault because of sin. There could be delay because of sin. Maybe it's because of other things. Think about Perez. His situation wasn't, in fact, he was born into shame. And adultery, humiliation. His father was supposed to be his grandfather. I said, Friday, this can only happen in Tennessee. Certain parts of Tennessee. I'll tell David Epps that tonight. He's from those certain parts.
That's right.
But the situation he was born into, that wasn't his fault. Maybe there are things that have happened in your life or happening in your life that really aren't your fault. It's just part of the fall. It's just situations, circumstances. Could be things like sickness or other stuff or financial stuff or whatever. I don't know. Other people's decisions in your life that put you in hard places. Or it could be in your fault. But there's been true repentance. I mean, Judah still, we always say all the time, from the tribe of who? Judah. You mean the Judah that stopped by the prostitute who didn't even know? Yeah, that one. Jesus, from the God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. He was the biggest manipulator in the history of the world. As a matter of fact, God identifies himself more with Jacob than even Abraham and Isaac in Scripture. Doesn't mean that God is for sin, no, but it does mean that God's not shocked he's dealing with sinners. And he's able to transform the broken and the fallen. You with me?
Amen.
And so maybe there's some things in your life, that just some places in the Lord that you want to go. But for whatever reason, you feel like you just can't get there. Well, I'm just telling you, I just release on you prophetically, on this church, the anointing of Perez. That you will breach through the barrier.
Amen.
To come into the inheritance and the purpose and the destiny that God has for you, even if it seems like you've had to come at it backwards. See, I believe Selma's destiny has always been to be a city of revival in the kingdom. I believe the name throne is prophetic by God. But if Selma had to come to this thing breach, oh my gosh. As a community, it seems like we've done everything backwards to get there, but we're going to get there. And what I want you to do is have the spirit of Perez. Evidently, Perez pulled his arm back, pushed himself down while he backed himself out. Refuse to let the enemy convince you that somehow you can't break through the barrier to be at that place God wants you to be, those things in God that you long for, that you somehow think you can't get to. Be a barrier breacher. It's part of the lineage of Jesus. Therefore, it's part of his inheritance too. Spiritually, every one of you carry in you the seed of Perez. Do you know that? In your spiritual DNA? That thing's in you. It's one of the great blessings of Scripture. And I'm convinced that's one of the reasons I've never really heard anybody talk about it, because the enemy doesn't want us to hear that. We cave in, give in for too long. Convinced that, well, this is too hard, this is too late. And I understand that. I'm a participant. I'm a journeyman with you. Words that we speak, decree, and say, as if barriers are determined. But he's the Alpha and the Omega. He has the last word. And he says there's an anointing on you to be a barrier breacher. And to not be discouraged if it seems like everything's going against it and you're having to come at it backwards, not the way you thought you were going to come at it. And even though someone, the enemy's trying to usurp it, don't let it happen. Believe him that you're going to breach the barrier. Is it some area of ministry? Is it something about your body? Is it something about your relationships, your family, the anointing on your life? I believe we're in a season corporately where we're going to break a lot of barriers. There are things we've been believing God for. We've seen the Lord do some amazing things. But I believe the anointing of Perez is being released. And that we, you personally are going to, I'm personally going to, and we corporately are going to breach some barriers. Even so, it seems like we've backed into it. It's going to happen. And I'm going to have the spirit of Perez on me, and I'm going to push back against the enemy. And take my inheritance.
Amen.
In whatever form it comes in. You with me?
Amen.
I heard a story years ago about a guy who was trying to teach a Baptist pastor about doing deliverance ministry. A big, huge church. The revival had been going on in his church, and so they had this man who was very demonized. And in his office, and the pastor was there. And he tried to get this pastor, who was really, really well known nationally, couldn't get anywhere with the guy. So this person, his name was Milt Green, minister to this guy. It was a scary kind of situation. The guy got set free. Life was changed. So afterwards, the pastor goes, "Why? Why couldn't I help this guy?" And he says, "Well, just have a seat right there behind your desk." And so the pastor had a seat, and so Milt went and got a phone book and put it on his lap. And then got another book, and then books and more books, then put the phone in his lap, then got a small chair to where he was stacking up above his head. And he said, "Boy, you don't ever put your foot down and say no, do you?" And he was trying to teach him, there comes a time when we have to put our foot down and say, "No, more. I will have everything He's promised.
Amen.
I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the enemy says or anybody else says. I don't care if I seem to be coming at this backwards. If I'm not heading there in the way I thought I was going to head there." The anointing of Perez is a barrier breacher. Amen?
Amen.
So receive that word. It's pastoral, but it's prophetic. Don't try to figure it out. Don't think too hard. It's exactly what you're thinking it is in your heart right now. You mean, could it mean? Yes, it absolutely does. Okay?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.